Yeah, we had the transition. Can we entertain questions and comments? Sorry, to the phone. Okay. Yeah. Actually, ask a question. That's what they asked to the document because we had a number of presentations. Thank you. You have the hand there before? Okay, okay.
Sorry, just wanted to ask you a question first. Then my name was on.
So can you get order
the DRC. And I want to take you to the first page, or page number 5 on the presentation. Our question first to... No, DRC, I'm just first going to do that. I'm going to follow up with my other question. I want to ask, it mentioned a few times the ownership patterns and it also referred back to the Afrikaner Foundation and the four money groups, media money groups, the newspaper groups, and also that it's for the industry, it has a few industry players. I want to know what is the black ownership percentage in these major companies. And then I want to know how the government is the issue of transformation in the 2016-17 financial, how would it be allocated and under which program does it actually fall? And then also, why is the budget spent on advertising towards community print media, first of all, comparing to TV broadcasting and also community radio? I want to mention that we have over 200 grassroots publications publishing in all indigenous languages. Sorry, this is the other one, okay? But the next question is around the ad spending. If you look at the slides, you will see that communication, the radio and broadcasting of advertising, it's more advanced towards them than different community print media. And I want, the reason for my question is that we say that the fact that there's no advertising government, the money spent towards community, it's not good, so that's what this study discourages new interest into the environment. So what I want to ask is why is there so many grassroots publications publishing in all these languages, reaching 25 million people, and that is direct in contact with communities. Would you like me to move to another mark?
Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Besides the main challenge is the lack of advertising by GCR is towards these small grassroots publishers. And my question would be why don't they make more use of these publishers, and also with regards to the meeting of the Afrikaans in English. In municipalities, there is a lack of language diversity in our municipalities. And also, while these grassroots publishers, Africa, publish so many languages, it's over 200. Why does government not make more use of them in, and I want to know how government will be addressing this challenge. And then also I want to know how much ad spend was the government spent or GCRF spent towards New Age. Because there's a tendency to go towards or to spend with the biggest virtual print media and the smaller. And if we want to create jobs and if we want to help them to be sustainable, we should support them. Thank you.
Thanks, Richard. I thought she was dying. I've got a few questions for SDGs because I bring SDNG, GCIS. Let me start by SDGs. We are aware that the local soccer has been taken away from the broadcast. What future plans are you bringing back this sport of national interest? How is your relationship with BRICS countries in relation to it and other EU programs? Some of our documents told us that there were 800 workers that were supposed to be retrenched. How did you save them? Because we are all aware that government is contributing only 2% to the SABC. What is your plan? And up to so far, please provide clarity on platform broadcasting local elections. And the last one, we were told that in the absence of Mr. Tawuni Mutwini, some of the sponsors were uncertain and threatening to pull out from the SABC. Can you unpack and tell us and or clarify us about that? What is it and what is your future plan? Congratulations for the collection of TV lessons. That's very great. But I wanted to say that what is your future plan? It is to collect more than that, close to 2 billion million. And then Brent SA. What have you done in dealing with the negative reports after the reshuffling of Mr. Former Financial Minister, Mr. Nene, and the impact about Nkandla Ruli, what you have done to make sure that you deal with the negative report. And across the board, all the entities and the department, I only heard Ikasa talking about litigation, but some of you have never heard that. Or maybe you are saying that you don't have some litigation. Please inform us what is it. Ikasa again. The issue of license or the lifting of a moratorium. Can you construct it before the end of this year? For now, let me stop here. I thank you, Chair.
bringing the minister in particular for the progress made in regard to the broadcasting CTC projects. The progress that we are witnessing is really commendable. We've seen moving around in all the provinces in your campaign, and I can tell you as we move around in our process, people are very excited about this development. You see, in almost all the presentations that were made today, the issue of understanding is coming up very, very sharply. And my take is that as we address this particular issue, this thing must also start with us. You'll remember in two engagements we had some time last year, the issue of the size of delegations by the HGCM department coming to appear before the Bolo Committee was raised. And seemingly, some of the entities have not yet improved in that particular issue. It's an issue that we want to raise it again so that those who have not yet seen the need to correct this particular challenge must definitely do something about it, especially in the light of the austerity measures as pronounced by the President. It's an issue that, Minister, you will have to follow up very, very closely and make sure that this issue is seriously addressed. In the presentation of the Department DOC, there was an issue that talks to the amendment of the mandate of the MDDA, and we became interested in knowing exactly which are those areas that you feel need to be amended. Coupled with that was the issue of the 30% ad spend by departments and municipalities. Can we replace if there is progress in that regard? It comes at the level of compliance with regard to the terms and conditions of the licenses. Can we be briefed if indeed people are complying? Do we have people who are not complying, and what is it that we are doing in the forecast in terms of the terms and conditions? There is a concern that we raised sometime last week with some of your colleagues from the Financial Congress that as you report the activities of portfolio committees, and I'm most interested in this one because that's why I said, you seem to be more interested in what the rest of the parties are saying, except the majority party, which is saying it's a concern that we'll want to raise officially today to the SCPC, and we'll appreciate if this matter can be handled as a matter of agency. If there is an explanation that we want to provide to this meeting, we'll appreciate if that explanation can be given. So some of us have been following very, very closely all the statements that are released by the SABC immediately after meetings of this nature. You seem to be more interested about what the rest of the parties are saying, except the issue of understanding in really minister is an issue that we can't afford to emphasize. We've raised it quite a number of instances, and we think at your level, if it comes to a push, we might have to intervene at our level with the pressure to make sure that this issue is fast-tracked, issue of funding. Because if this issue is not fast-tracked, what we are preaching about the SABC, which is supposed to be a real public broadcaster, impartial, that mandate will be compromised. So I'm saying it's an issue that perhaps at our level, Chairperson, we might have to come in, of course, with the assistance of the minister to make sure that this particular issue is addressed. We have raised it in quite a number of instances that just really we definitely do something about this issue of underfunding in particular. For the SABC. Honorable Sekana has already raised the issue of TV licenses. We are fine and we appreciate it. Obviously, we'll appreciate if at some stage, Minister, we are pleased about the shareholder compact for the SABC and the contemplated instruments for the rest of the entities. So that in the course of us doing our oversight work, we know exactly what kind of contract has been entered into by the shareholder and the entities. The second last one, I think, talks to MEDA, the infrastructure that we are providing to community readies. We will appreciate you, we know exactly if you are saying five community readies, you are targeting to provide infrastructure to five community readies. If you can then be able to tell us exactly what kind of infrastructure we're talking about, we will definitely appreciate in that regard. But we'll also want a situation where all the entities, in the course of you responding to this issue, at least you are then able to brief us about the equity status, especially at executive level, women and people with disabilities, where are we? All the entities across the board. So we'll appreciate in the course of you responding to the input by the honorable members, you are then able to assist that in that regard. The last one is obviously the issue that we always talk about, usage of consultants. I only became interested in the presentation of ICAP. I think I appreciate that that usage has gone down very slightly, but still I am convinced you can still do more. Because really we can't afford a situation where we continue to utilize consultants when people have been appointed on the basis of skills, who can then be able to do some of these things. But we continue to utilize consultants. Because I think we appreciate, I was looking at your slides, which talks to the use of consultants. At least there is a bit of an improvement, but I'm convinced you can still do more. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Has been broadly covered by my previous speakers. But on the department, just a few questions. We know, as already been stated, there is a challenge of language diversity in the community print media. So my question is, do you have a plan of action with a timeline place to ensure that the demographics are taken into consideration in addressing this challenge? With regards to community broadcasting, even if they are supported to establish infrastructure, there is still this challenge of sustainability and management. So my question is, did you have monitoring mechanisms in place to ensure good functioning of this community broadcasting? Taking into consideration the high unemployment rate and skill shortages, I have noted that you have a very few posts at entry level stadium. Can you please elaborate on this and how are you going to contribute towards the eradication of unemployment? You've mentioned the extra post added and basically for the TTT project. And taking into consideration that this is a long-term project, do you have plans in place to ensure that these individuals will be taken care of after the full implementation or completion of this project? Also taking into consideration abiding by the relevant labor legislation. Because one thing that we want to avoid is labor unrest and possible litigation in this regard. I really want to commend also the department on not using consultants, and I also want to echo what my previous colleague has said, that the other that the entities follow suit in this regard. When taking into account the promise by the department to ensure that there is at least one community media per municipality, can you please update us on this progress thus far? Also, with regards to the MDA, can you update us on possible litigation that you are faced with? With regards to Brand SA, you mentioned that you are playing a proactive and reactive role, but I want to urge you rather to be proactive rather than reactive in managing media relations, to improve indeed the reputation, the perceptions and awareness of the nation, brand amongst targeted audiences, especially in this political environment that we are faced with. On ICASA, I a great concern in terms of your budgeted amount, echoing also the high amount budgeted for consultants, not then taking into consideration broadening the skill base of the internal employees in order to ensure that they are being taken into consideration for upward mobility. Can you please elaborate on your plans that you have in place to address that issue? Also, a big concern is the travel cost. Why we should be focusing on cost constraints, but really you are just increasing on that amount budgeted. Can you please give us some insight on why you are improving on that budget in that regard? Can you explain to us the 102.7% growth in the council budget, contrary to the growth in the core business that you are budgeting for, especially in the financial year? I think I'll pause the chat.
However, we need to know the criteria
Commissioner Douglas used in identifying five locations of the main base tribe. I think we have more than 200 locations. How do you identify these two? Identify and say that's the annual target. If the annual target, how is it going to be broken down, you know, into phases to finish the first quarter, which is going to do until we complete the whole cycle annually? You know, very often we have a problem when it comes to water grant management. And we have here information that invoices will be attended to within a group of 30 days. What action will be taken if one way or the other we are in a situation whereby invoices are not attended to within that 30 days? What action is going to be taken as a measure to enforce compliance? And the other finding as well, I think almost all the members here talked today. How would this understanding affect your target at the time frame that you expect yourself? How is it going to affect the city delivery generally? And the other one on, I think it has been asked about the registration and the infrastructure that is going to be provided. But we do not have information in terms of the physical, you know, location or the classification of the station, because we engage with our therapists can be oversized. But if you don't know which station you are getting to, it is difficult for us to do oversize. And also those who will be attended to in terms of providing the infrastructure and the transition phase, it is, you know, running smoothly. We cannot guarantee that until we go there and to oversight, certify ourselves that the information that we have here tallies with what we see on the ground. So for now, we'll stop there, but there's a question again about the bilateral agreement that we thought we had information to that effect, but nothing is said about the bilateral agreement as to how you engage internationally. Before we come to the second round of questions, I think that the first one has been exhausted, and the announcement that we'll go to the second round of questions. We'll come back for questions after a tea break, and I think we'll be done after that one. Can you come back to the other question?
Given answers.
of the issues that they raised in the past. It's an issue that I think at your level here, this year, as we have to interact with the rest of the departments to make sure that this particular issue is addressed very properly. So if it means at some stage, we must then go back to a committee and say, this time around, we are not coming for new issues. We are coming to give you responses in terms of the issues that you have raised in the past. Let it be so. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Minister. We have noticed that you have been signing memorandum of understanding with the neighboring countries. And the committee has an important route in ratification of treaties. When will you rightfully present to the committee so the agreement signed can be official? Number two, I just want to come on that one of in support of community. You know, the issue of funding SABC. The issue of funding SABC have been supported long time ago. That general, we are not here with the two parents. And the resolution states clearly that the SABC must be given up to 60% as Minister rightfully mentioned in her opening remarks. So let us focus on this issue. And when we move out from this old assembly, we must agree that when are you starting to process this? And definitely, when can we get a report back? Because if this issue can be started in 1997, from my beginning until today, So it means that our government is not seriously implementing. So please, Minister, with your leadership, we understand that something will move. And then GCIS, how far are we with media transformation? And let me stop here. I thank you.
My question around the Minister indicated that she was guaranteed the funding. And she largely indicated that she was going to be at the thing. I just want to know what the outcome of that was with regard to the funding for media and the NDA. Thank you, Minister. You indicated that you were going to liaise with the print media that has stopped contributing to the NVDA fund. And I just want to know what the outcome of that was. And then I also, as a committee member, want to raise my concern about the vacancy rate in the NVDA. Yesterday, on the 10th, publication or advertisement went out, but I just want to bring your attention to the fact that last year this time there was 19 people out of 32 working at the agency, and yesterday 14 out of 32, and that raises a major concern because the lack of human capacity definitely has a negative effect on the overall proper functioning of the entity, and I commend him for advertising. But I also hope that we can fill, the positions can be filled soon. The main thing there for me is the fact that the top CEO, the CFO, HR project director, all those positions are acting people. And then I also want to know, is the job level, the description for the positions, for these positions that have been advertised, if they are in place. All right, and in general, I noticed that it was still not distributed to the staff, so I hope that you also put it forward to so that the staff can also, if they want to. The fact of the matter is that last year, the MDA with 19 employees, they only reached 31% of their target, the 2013-14 year, and this year they indicated that they managed to achieve 56%, and for me, I question that if there's only 14 people working there at the moment, and also they targeted 21 new community projects and only 5 were approved, so that's only 33.8%, which is a very negative if you if we want to embrace and put community and develop and expand that, then we will have to get people that and capacitate the entity or the agency so that it can properly function. Then I want to my questions on the SABC. The one is around the editorial policy. I just want to find out if there was public consultation and if we took place, who was engaged and if all the stakeholders were aware of that, and if a proper public consultation process was followed. And the other question around the SABC is I want to know from the Minister if she can state the reasons why the Mr. Frans Matlatla as the CF or CEO was suspended, if he was, and if not, why is it refused that we get information, reasons why he is not with the SABC anymore, and if we want to know before which court was this, and can the papers be made available to the committee. Then the film book and publication, the question I have, they indicated on your annual 2014-15 report, you said that you will train 150 educators on cyber safety in order to implement initiatives to ensure cyber safety and child online protection, and I want you to just keep other updates on that. Also, the DIC program number 2, I want the research and policy development. I want to know why there's only 2% allocated to that budget, because for me that's a very important our policy to get that right. Also the program 3, it indicated the industry and capacity development. It says, I want to know how many reports will be produced. And this program was budgeted at the estimate of 10.9 million for the 2016-17 year, and 9.3 million less than the 2015-16. And I want to know if there's a particular reason for that decrease. The other question I need, or I just want to put forward, is also in SABP, the department has a number of reports on SABPAB work program compiled as an indicator, which specific programs. Okay, then, I think I will stop with that.
Contrary to what is expected from me. And one
come to work once in a week or once in a month, I'm not gonna employees qualify for this one. How are we going to deal with it if we have to to monitor them on this one here? And to what extent have we engaged with the trade union for us not to get this under again? And about the fluctuation exchange rate that is known by everyone, how is your risk management? Someone who do focus management and to end those increases and budget accordingly. Because sometimes the budget is not looking in the focus management, and when we are supposed to implement, we don't have the sufficient funds that will be at par with our plan. How is your risk management? So do you have the right person to do the focus management to make sure that we are upfront as far as the fluctuation I'm concerned in terms of what you're seeing here, the exchange rate that will lead to increased cost of sports rights and foreign property. I don't think it's only this one. Almost everything that you're explaining would be because of the fluctuation of the exchange rate.
with the diligent effort which was signed by the late former President Nelson Mandela and which was ratified by Parliament. He gave us the back because given the status of other countries wherein when we visit them, everything needs to go through the attorney general and even the kingdom, other countries are kingdom, their particular requirements. That's why for us to move on the program, we agreed to just sign a memorandum of cooperation which has been with all those instruments so that we continue to expedite the work because as such the ministers we also agreed that we put the new deadline to come June 2016 that in 2 months' time we need to have all of us assume each other is in migration because due to the effect of the new deadline of June this year. So, but I can still make those memorandums conference available to the ones you see because those ones will understand how we are going to work together, specifically dealing with the issue of armed migration, and then how will the regulators work together, the broadcasters. I'm pretty sure then it's fine, but that's what I wanted to deal with that. Then, these other issues, like I must indicate up front before they even respond. We use our bilateral meetings to almost read all the issues that we are in. That's part of us doing oversight of the entity. Like I said earlier when I made my presentation, also we had a very fruitful meeting with the office of the AG for the first time. Instead of the AG coming and present the report on the performance of the entities in the department, I asked the AG to allow the leadership of the entities to be present in the meeting. And then also that meeting I believe helped a lot because now before the AG issued the oncoming report, it will have avoided the two departments and the entities to improve and also to deal with the issues because and we have quarterly meetings and it's an agreement moving forward that we continue to work with quarterly meetings with the AG. It means we first have our own bilateral, that's part of the liberal agreement that we want to see. Then that those bilateral meetings then later on will be followed by our quarterly meetings with the AG. Of which I must say up front saying the cooperation of the CEO of Brandeis has been very immense on the part of the entities, and I believe we are all sharing the common dream and objective for leading towards this direction, all of us. Then the other issues I think I must give you to the officials, because they are specific, otherwise it will have been a process of expenditure for me to process and dealing with the education. And then I say everything. I'll just come in if I feel this very good fellowship. Thank you.
Minister, before we get to end this meeting, I told them to register the code, the public record card and the cabinet. But one thing you know, whatever means, just get the cabinet, but we continue with our team in the interest of time.
Thank you. thank the Honourable Chair and the Honourable Members and the Minister and the colleagues. I will deal with some of the questions and my colleagues, the CFO and Ms. McCarthy, they will deal with the other questions which deals with the finance related matters and HR related matters. There was a question raised on the issue of the ownership patterns from which came as a result of the institutional analysis that we have done with regard to whether, you know, what is the black ownership of the in the print media. The response is that ourselves in DCIS, we have commissioned a research on who owns who last year. So we have not received the final research report on that. Once that report is out, we'll be able to indicate the ownership pattern in terms of the company. But what I can say is that in all four companies, there is an element of a black ownership, in all of those. But that was not sufficient. But we'll be able to share that report with the committee if the committee wishes to use that report. The other question was on the mitigations as a department. We had mitigations last year, since 2014. So I think the mitigation is there, which affect our work in the appeal case on the ETV, the Minister measure, which is sitting in the Supreme Court of Appeals on the 6th of May this year. The other matter on the consultancy, I think it's a juicy way. We can look at our budget. Even if we have a budget, we believe in using the internal sources to deliver on what we're supposed to do rather than using consultants. So don't use consultants. Even when we were established in the department, from the directive from the minister, very clear that we do it ourselves. And I think we've been able to do that. And we've given resources as a department. The other issue was around the issue of the language, around the point that is in the print media, in the main, the usage of English and Afrikaans typos a lot, as it were. So this is one area I think which is of concern to us, so that we can be able to have community print media, community print papers in the local languages. I think that will then be able to give us a true diversity that we speak about. And be able to provide information in people's languages. In that regard, we will be engaging with the language board, the French lab, so that we can find each other and agree on how do they assist these entities, so that they can be able to have these newspapers in the local languages as it were. So I think after that, then we'll be able to give timelines. But at the same time, we're working with the MDGA to say that if you, for example, finance or you provide a grant to me as a person, that I will be, publishing my community print newspaper in a particular language, there has to be a follow through and monitoring that indeed I continue to do that. So that people don't along the way change into a language which is not what they have planned for. So I think there's an element of strengthening the energy components around those areas that we don't find situations where you know the intended purpose is not achieved and so on. I think it's linked with the other question that you raised around now that you find that many community you know media, both in print and radio, are somehow under the management or management or control of the big company. So that's the worry factor. I think that's we have a good working with the NGT to deal with that that aspect. But that community media remains true community media, not under the influence of some big operators in the FC2. In that regard, I think we have to do the audit of who owns who also at the same time, and so on. More so in the community broadcasting space, there are license conditions that must be adhered to at all times. So it can't be that the flower process, then the council will have to take action and enforce those license conditions effectively. The other issue which was raised was what was the criteria that we used to identify the five registrations. The criteria, I think what we used there is on the basis of the availability of funds in the name. Because it, you know, if you are, if you've got only example, 10 million to deliver on infrastructure, and then once you know, to put a studio for the community radio cost about 1.5 million, so you don't have much money to do that. So it's precisely the issue of the financial consideration more than anything. But we also, when we do that, look at stations which have never been funded before, those who are new, who have never been funded before, so that we support those that they can get off the ground and be able to do. But also look at those ones who are in dire need, if there's a need, for example, for an upgrade of infrastructure and all of those things. So those are the considerations. I think the main is about the financial considerations in more than anything. I think the other questions, I will leave them to CFO, so we deal with the question of the 30% of consequence management and the issue of the 2% in the policy research budget. And I must say on that one, honorable members, as I indicated, the panel is seriously underfunded, as you can see. This is what we've been able to allocate by the National Treasury within the fiscal. Which is only 15 million, which is only about 8 million. So I think the CFO can add on those. And then I can deal with the question around the standards for women and the issue of HIV matters. Thank you very much.
In relation to dealing with the resource management related that we are taking a thing today, maybe for a start, in the department we have managed to declare we don't have any invoices that we failed to deal with in 30 days. And the strategy is, if you look at it, is that when we accept the invoice, it must be fully compliant. So that we don't take it backward and forward to make sure that the service providers are not attended for. And as a result of that, it makes us to make sure that finally when they submit the invoice, we accept it, we are able to process within 30 days. But we have put mechanisms in place that in cases where such things are not happening, because these plans are part of our performance management system, we will deal with them in terms of the performance management system and the legal relations process.
and as to deal with how can we move further, because we have to put comfort in place in managing the consequences coming.
The issue of the underfunding on research and policy program.
Three, I think the media has already spoken to it. We were trying to share a piece of cake among all of us, and unfortunately, given the limited funding that we have in the current financial year, that's the best possible maximum amount that we can allocate to the program. And moving forward, I think the comments made by the honorable members will be taken into consideration if we get additional funding in terms of how can we broaden the research and policy unit to make sure that it fulfills its part. But it's not only policy and unit. You can also check at our entity oversight that the budget is zero level, and given the magnitude of the entities that we have to look at, it's also the area of concern for us to make sure that proper resources are put in place to make sure that that unit is having the necessary resources to perform their mandate. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to be responding to the questions relating to the few posts that are at entry level and the fact that we have employees that are on contract in the DTC and whether we have a plan to keep them on a long-term employment. Just to give a background, that the current establishment of the department was approved when the department was established. And when the department started being operational, and unfortunately, it's the slide that the DG presented, and when it was approved, the establishment, we had 374 posts. But if you can look at the number of funded posts, it's only 86 posts that are funded. So what happened there is that when the department started being operational, we got employees that were coming from the former Department of Communications, which is the CPS, and there was little funding that was given to the approved structure, so we ended up with those 86 posts. So out of that, then we realized when we started being operational and when the programs are now being implemented, that we will need more people that will be in programs like the DTC. So we had to get people at those entry levels. But first to say that this is an establishment or organogram that was approved prior to the department being operational. We are looking into reviewing it so that we align to it what is happening now. And the issue of entry-level posts will be looked into. And the issue of long-term employment of contract employees in the DTC will also be looked into in terms of as the funding issue is now being raised as a problem, we will also be looking at that, because even in this financial year, we are not giving any additional funding for personnel compensation. So it seems that if we look as we review the structure, as we look at the finances, that will be available in the following year. And in terms of the status of the department at the females at SMS level, we are at 47%, and the people with disabilities, we are at 2%. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I will address the questions that were pointed with some of the matters that we highlighted from today. Just to say that first I can start with the first question. Honorable Foundation asked about the way in which we are allocating funds, the differences between community radio, community print, and community television. So that's what I can just to explain a little bit about what we have done since. We have acknowledged that there are these disparities, but it's proper that we give you an update because you've understood what the challenges are. What we did in the last quarter of last year was to sit down and engage the print industry, as well as to review our procurement plan to understand why it is that this disparity exists. And by way of mitigate against that. We've established a panel of community media print service providers. And we now have three categories of print media partners. So if you are going to purchase community print through GCIS, we are looking at three tiers in which we do this. Firstly, we have the direct tier. So newspaper owners who are in the community media field can come to GCIS, register on the database, so that we can use them to control the crucial directly. The second tier speaks to cooperatives, and what we have encouraged is that the provincial newspapers should come together and form their own field houses. So if we are going to run an advertising campaign in Limpopo, for example, we'll get the community newspapers in Limpopo to work together, create a cooperative, a vehicle through which we can buy media in all of them. And then, of course, the third model is one that looks at media sales agents. So what we've tried to do in this panel is to give the flexibility for the owners of community print publications to engage with government and to be on our procurement panel so that we can actually buy media from them. So the three categories, you can approach us and bring from the database directly as a community newspaper. You can work through a cooperative, we call them hubs, provincial hubs, or alternatively, if you so choose, you can work through a media service. But having said that, I will give you a caveat. The panel is currently being assessed and evaluated. We're going through to make sure that all of the people that are on that are registered to be on the panel are compliant. Primarily means that we look at who owns the publications, have they been paying taxes, and so on. And it comes into effect in April this year. So at the end of April 2016, that panel will come into effect. We have had one hiccup that I think I should share with the members, and that is we will start to see a slight lag in the advertising allocation for community radio specifically. What we did was on the 5th of April, we adopted the central supplier database as the single access point that we use to procure media. In fact, that we use as governance across the board to procure anything. So, because we want to comply, all the services that we purchase, the service providers must be registered on the central supplier database. And I just want to be transparent and put on the table that we have had some challenges where not all media, community media owners have been able to register on the central supplier database. Our approach has been to work with the NDDA to make sure that we have a program to which we are engaging with the community media industry bodies, specifically the IPA, the colleagues at the AIT, as well as the colleagues at the NCRF, so that we can reach their members, and where necessary, if we have to assist them by explaining how it is to register on the central supply industry, we've taken on the responsibility. But our sense, and we had an inkling that this might happen, is that in the first quarter of this year, we might see a dip in the advertising that is allocated to community media, simply because not all of the community media will have been able to register on the central supplier database on time. The issue around the ad spend allocation, I think it's important also to touch on that. Honorable Terry spoke about the 50% broadly, and I think, please, you will correct me, but I remember going through the BRRR report, took some time to go through it in some detail. And I think after the engagement that the portfolio committee had had with the community media sector, that target was actually revised to 20%. And the explanation that I read in the report was that it was based on the capacity of the community to actually take on the additional advertising, given the fact that they had challenges in terms of compliance. So what we have done as an organization, internally we have continued to work towards that 50% as a stretch target, but our understanding is that actually we are working towards reaching the 20% target together with the community media sector. So where are we on that status? Based on the financial year that just ended, and we haven't yet concluded the final audited figures, so I'm going to give you preliminary information. Currently we are allocating approximately 13% of our advertising budget for this last year, and the reason why it's lower than done traditionally is precisely because we had this problem with the community newspapers. Once I've touched on this and one or two other issues, I just want to allow Mr. Maloka to give you some context into what the trend has been over the last 3 years, because I think the insights are useful. Honorable Kekana, you will be pleased to know that when we talk about our commitment to community media, it's not only about print advertising, radio advertising, television advertising. We also look holistically at how we run our events. So when you are asking us about the Invisa program, I think it's also important to look at the impact that our Invisa program has on the local community. So for me, I think it's useful that we share, for example, when the presentation that we just took you through on the APP, if you go to page 29, where it lists the total number of activations, where it says the GCIS will do 486 marketing events for different programs, or we do 1,800 community and stakeholder liaison visits, or the 1,200 development communications activations. Suppliers that we use for those activations are also local. So, we are not taking suppliers around the country. We work with suppliers in the locations where we are hosting our Invisa program. I also wanted to touch on the matter that was raised by Honorable Kingi about the qualitative measurement that we have around the Invisa program. It's a good thing. We just ended our Invisa Focus Week on Sunday. And we ran 36 events. And we think we were very, very successful. I will allow Ms. Nibolokhode to talk about them in some detail. Just to give you a sense of what the principles of the Invisa program are, and then the Minister is going to comment in terms of how that relationship works between GCIS as well as how we work with the other departments. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to stop there, and we are going to talk one last thing, which was around, it was a very important question that was asked that talks to underfunding. How will underfunding affect service delivery? And I think I tried to paint a picture in the PowerPoint presentation, but I would like to give the CFO an opportunity to talk to innovation in budget management and how we've been able to reprioritize some of the key tasks. So he'll talk about underfunding. He'll also talk about our approach to looking for partnerships in terms of innovation. So the order that the responses will be Mr. Harold Maloka, Ms. Nibolokhode, and Mr. Zolina.
Thank you very much, honorable members. On the note that you have ended on, I think the question that was asked generally is what have we done in terms of looking at our own targets against the fact that we don't, there's a decline in the revenues that we have or the budget that we have. Yes, we have indeed
and had to relook at our budget and look at the targets that we had previously, looking at the deadline as it was announced already by the Minister of Finance, and given the tight budget that we had. So we had to reduce some of the targets and think creatively on how we're going to be able to achieve some of the outputs, but also continue to meet the obligations, especially the contracts that we have already signed as the department. And that is across the board, across the department. We had an exercise where we had to look at what are the things that we can do and what are the things that we can't do. In some areas, to give one example, in some areas where we provide some of the services to departments, and when they make a request for such services and we know that we don't have the budget to be able to do so, we do indicate upfront. But when those departments are able to pay for the service and we provide the service, we allow that particular opportunity so that there isn't any disruption in service. Coming back to the issue of the advertising itself, I think it's important to know that since 2010, since we decided to do the insourcing of our media buying, we had to look at ensuring that we cut down on some of the costs of outsourcing some of the services through agencies. And we've seen a gradual increase in a number of suppliers. Now when I talk about the suppliers, I want to talk to suppliers across the board. Whether they are in print, whether they are in radio, whether they are in television, or in the creative, the outdoor, and the digital space. Because those spaces have now become part and parcel of an advertising thing. So our advertising mix is no longer limited to whether it's television, whether it's radio, or the print itself. So the three categories, whether at community level or at a commercial level, have to take into consideration that there are other areas that still have to be taken into consideration. The other part is that when most of the departments we have begun to notice even ourselves, in terms of the number of campaigns that are coming from departments that are beginning to go down because of the lack of funds or the lack of revenue. But that also is beginning to necessitate that departments are now beginning, or clients are beginning to choose those that are big platforms that will give them longevity for advertising. So if they were to think about booking a billboard, for argument's sake, that will give them that presence for a period of 6 months, as compared to going to a newspaper that will be run for a week, they would rather choose that particular platform because it's going to give them that. We have that particular responsibility as the CCI to also provide that particular advice. While we'll have to try to balance some of the imperatives of the media diversity, looking at alternative media and so on, we cannot also underestimate the importance of the digital space. We've seen how social media now has also become a platform for advertising. We've seen even some of the media houses beginning to look at their own website as part and parcel of an advertising, a part of an advertising space. So going directly to print is no longer just an option of going to radio, television, and print. It has become much more complicated than that. So at every given point, we also have to balance the requirements of the clients, which are the department, but at the same time still advise them to look at the alternative media and look at the trends that have come through. As the acting DG has said, just to give an indication of how far we've gone, particularly in supporting community media, in the 2014-2015 financial year, we are able to provide community media with about 35 million of the budget that has to be used for advertising. And that cuts across the print, radio, and television itself. In the financial year that we just closed, it also went over 36 million by itself. And that is about 12.84% of the total advertising across all of those platforms that I spoke about. Outdoor, radio, television, print, digital space, and other diversity elements which are becoming much more cheaper and much more creative.
One of those other platforms that we also use, and we call under outdoor, but it's those, what we call wall mirror. When you walk into a community, you find a wall that has been painted. And that was some of them stay for almost the whole year. That has become also part of those areas that we're looking at. So we're working across to also make sure that we look at the SMEs that are coming into the market. So in as far as we're concerned, we don't only look at the a limited space of those that were traditionally considered as the media, but looking at them as the collective across the board to make sure that our advertising reaches as many people as possible. And we make sure that in every campaign we have an alternative. And that alternative will be community media, all other media that are becoming, and that are quite important. I think also to add to what FNDC said about the issue of some of the media that would have difficulty coming on board, especially with the central database requirement. The central database requirement requires that every supplier must have all the required documents, tax clearance, and all of those requirements. We didn't see with our national media and some of the bigger media institutions having difficulty to register on that particular database because of the requirements of tax and so on. So we hope that through the database of the hubs that we're putting together coming from other provinces, that should be from provinces, it might be able to help some of the community media because of the challenges that they have themselves to be able to put the compliance papers on the table. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, Minister. I'm just going to comment on the illegal question. Chairperson, as a matter of practice, over the last 3 years, we have been continuously, consistently encouraging repeat visits. This last one that ended up on Monday, as part of the brief that we made to all the political principals across the 3 spheres of government, what we do, we always give them what the theme is, and for this particular one, we're demanding 10, but also this particular one, because also it was the last voter registration week, we gave the political principals, we usually give them the key messages, so it was key messages or the two keys included 9 and 10. It also included the key messages on 9 and 10 as well as the key messages on voter registration. But as a standard, we always encourage ministers to do repeat visits. If you look at the opening event that was held in Lephalale, it was done by Minister Zwane on behalf of our Minister Kevin Tambi. He actually went there to Lephalale as a follow-up visit. The closing event was held in Tabanchu by Minister Sospi on behalf of our Deputy Minister Selandabeli Abraham. Also, that one was a follow-up. So that these are some of the things that we always encourage political principals to do. And over the last year, 1.5 years, because if I have to count the last 3, it will be the last one being this one. We had one in November last year, and then we had one in April. The repeat visits were a bit low, but as we push and encourage, they are growing. So it is our interest, because feedback is critical, because it's also about closure. But the other thing that you are also encouraging political principals to do is to say that if minister goes to a particular area and they raise issues that affect another department, because government is one in terms of how the people see government. They don't see Department of Minister Faith and they see digital migration, GCIS, and they ask questions that have to do with their portfolio. I mean, the things that were raised in the Lephalale last year had to also to do with electricity, they had to do with housing, they had to do with roads. So ministers communicate also among themselves so that they make sure that when they go and close, they are able to address these issues. I hope I've been able to, because it is in our interest to make sure that we bring in some closure. Thank you, Chief.
Thanks, DG, and thanks, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, Honorable Minister, ladies and gentlemen. Mine is basically to comment on the underfunding that has been spoken about for the rest of the day, as well as reprioritizing the very budget that we don't have. We will continue to promote competitive practices when it comes to procurement, because we believe that the government can only get value for money when the net is cast wider, and we are likely to be protected in that case. So we are a department that really does not have a history of fruitless and wasteful expenditure. We hope to continue in that regard, because we don't have space to be wasteful. So resources rather be directed to areas that seek to optimize service delivery. We'll also continue with the National Treasury strategy. In fact, I must report that GCIS started to implement the cost containment measure before the National Treasury regulated that process. We circulated an internal memo, and when National Treasury circulated that instruction note, we are basically doing a cheap of doing what they have. And we began to see some of the cost reduction in that regard. And we are inculcating that culture, and I'm quite happy to indicate that our officials, our colleagues, are adhering to these suggestions that we are putting in place. We think that it's also important for us to have a thorough understanding of our cost drivers as well as the cost behavior thereof, so that we then can control what can be controlled, so that we don't have costs that are running out and they can't be controlled, basically to contain these costs. We will also continue to instill a culture of compliance, which we think our officials are responding very well, and that's why EG has indicated that there were no material non-compliances on the last audit report. So we think that if we adhere to the system and other principles that have been regulated, it will basically free a lot of budget that can be given to other important areas. And also, we will continue with the spirit of financial encouragement, like treasury, of allocating decisions where if there are projects that are normal using the desired results, the money can then be redirected elsewhere. So we'll continue to do the thorough baseline reprioritization. And just to have to be in control of the budget, we have an idea of the carrying. And lastly, even though we do understand the fiscal environment of the country and also of other countries in the world, but not only South Africa, we will continue to make additional funding cases to national treasury, because we do believe that it is a very good case. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chair. On the SABC side, the questions that have been raised that concern the board and government, Dr. Chizumba will respond to that, and then Jimmy will guide us with different, with the executives that have attended to different operational matters that have been raised. Thank you.
Thank you. accept what members, honorable members raised. In the issue of journalism anger that we always get in with, we have raised it and we keep raising it as the board to the operation, especially to the news that we saw the influx of young upcoming journalists that were breeding and grooming and mentoring, so they, when they are on field, they bring their own anger of reporting. But we don't have, that is not an issue. It's something that we keeping on reminding them that even on the policies of the country, or the conditions of life, so reporting through events, they've got categories. It is political event, the majority party has more, should have more coverage than the others. So it's something that every now and then we remind them that we need to mentor it to deal with that. So we accept that we're dealing with it. The local soccer reading, that goes to what the chairperson has asked for, the planning and the budgeting for actually July. This is a very competitive terrain. We do budget and we do plan for that. And in the bidding process, if we plan and budget for a 1 million rand, and our private competitor increase that to 1.6 million rand, we're up. So that's how we struggle in this industry. We're not competing with government broadcasters when we go up, even on SAFA. We're competing with private industry. So it's whoever has the biggest pocket then. This is where also you had our officials talking about the skill of our COO, Mr. Mishonin here. He comes in handy on his negotiation skills. Just to give you an example of last year, we were left with 2 days to be closed out on the cash at year because the private industry was getting high. And he was on suspension at that time. When he came back, within 2 days, he even got less 2 million US dollars, which is 32 million rand on our head. So, and as a board, we were even concerned on that. We even talked about the succession plan to say, no, it can't happen that one person is not around and you can't even negotiate deals. So, what the Honorable Kekan has asked for, some advertisers wanted to pull out. We want a succession plan. So we have asked for that from the chief, the executives, to give us a succession plan to show that who are you mentoring? In case you are not around, then who will take over your skill? Because now we will be caught off guard if somebody has something happens. So that is his key, that currently our negotiation team is like those. That goes also to the labor issues with the union, like the excess of 800 employees we talked about. We fund extra staff with the partnerships money that we generate. So it comes in handy on skills like those because we manage to get extra funding, like we mentioned, we got extra funding for elections now from the partnerships. These are not new contracts or new MOUs that we signed that was for the attachments on conditions like this. On the advertiser who are advertising with us. If, for example, the company that is advertising water was having 2 assets, he is able to negotiate for 5 assets. So that's how the partnership we're talking about, the extra money that is generated. So it's the same as the 50 million rand that is going to assist us on the election that he has negotiated. So it's to get more sponsors, more advertisers on the current contract that we have. So they add more money. So that is very necessary on me. So we can't mention name of the sponsor who are pulling out, but we manage and we survive, right, when it comes back. The plan for local elections, the local election plan from the beginning was presented into the ministry and to the minister. There's a team that is comprised of the department, secretary, and the IEC, I think Jakarta is also part of that coalition. They sit, they've got their own names. So all steps, our minister has the knowledge of that. So even if the budgeting or whatever they discuss on their level, they give us feedback also on how far we are, how ready we are. That is why we're confident as a board to can say we are ready to broadcast the local elections that are coming. I think it goes to what the minister has mentioned. If the committee wants a special presentation on the plan of local elections, the minister will advise us. Our team will come and present that. The BRICS relationship. Our team was in India last week, the whole of last week. There was a meeting of BRICS public broadcasters. They were discussing on how they can formulate partnerships. This was the first meeting. Difficult to formulate relationship and partners with BRICS since we don't yet have a standalone office in the country, but we managed to be part of that. So our executives were in India. They are discussing, they have started to discuss the relationship on how they can share or are they going to share that. The editorial policy, yes, is part of our oversight. The consultation was done 2013-14 financial year. Took almost 8 months. The whole country, the team was going to each province to collect data. So this is every after 2 years we have to do that. And the editorial policy, we submitted the final document to the minister, it's online now. Every 2 years is the review. We don't write new policies, it's the review of the policies. Yeah, I think we have covered almost, and then Gino will end on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Doc. Well, I think most of the issues have been covered. Maybe to add that around the issue of rights negotiating, often it has to do with personality and stuff that and yet so the CEOs that play a big role, has played a big role, you agree aware of it when he was on leave. And I'll give you an example, because it's quite complicated environment that you operate in when you negotiate rights. Firstly, you deal mainly in dollar-based currency. The numbers are scary. And recently, we were in the process of losing some rights that we were negotiating, because I felt that the cost was too high, the rand had just plummeted, we did the translation, the figures were just too high. And then, and so I was ready to walk away. He, on the other hand, he being the CEO, used the same criteria to our advantage by saying to the rights holders that, you know, we have problems with our currency, we have failure in dollars, we can't afford the price we want, and manage to something that has impressed us. So when different executives or staff members at the SABC talk about the persuasive qualities of the CEO, it's not a thumbs up or far-fetched. We have a very good working relationship with the trade unions, for instance. With regard to editorial policy, there was quite widespread consultation with all stakeholders, including the public, and we went on road shows around the country, and we found out town hall consultation. The editorial policies were recently completed, approved by board, submitted to the minister, submitted to our colleagues at Stata, and it's now on our website, so available for everyone who has been interested. There was an issue around the TV license, which I think the theatre is going to be very qualified to talk about, and I'll ask you to do that. I wanted to just maybe have a different take on the lack of coverage of the Brothers Party after the death touch of the I don't think that I want to say that because our reporting staff are young or inexperienced, because at the end of the day it's still the end of us to make the final decision. I think if there is an impression that's been created, if there's nothing sinister about it, and it's something we will raise with the colleagues in the room. I myself have not been aware that there's a trend of under-reporting on the AFC. Something I think we will raise with the colleagues. Clarity on broadcasting and sponsoring. I want to assure us we will cover the election. We will cover the election in the professional way that the citizens of this country expect us to do. It might mean that we have to cite the budget differently, but we will cover the election. And unlike other media houses, we will cover the whole country and just focus on the rural areas and the province. Our relationship with these countries, we have last week or 2 weeks back, there was a delegation that went to India to decide to strengthen relationships. I recently met with the ambassador from Russia, also from the trade union. So it's an ongoing thing, and again, it's about building those relationships.
Thank you very much, honorable members and minister. I think that from where I'm sitting, honorable members, you have one choice. And one choice is, when you come to report to Parliament, do you want SABC to generate profit or report on profit? Or do you want SABC to serve people of South Africa? Because when we talk about audit matters, because I need to deal with this issue of audit. Last year, people have been making halabaloo about SABC losing profits. And we, as people who understand our mandate, we choose between profit and serving the people of South Africa about education, information, entertaining people of South Africa. And because we are not funded by government in this case. Example, we lost around more than 120 million rand because of the funeral of our late President Nelson Mandela. So when you deal with audit, it's a loss. But for us, it's not a loss. It is part of SABC fulfilling its mandate. So I think as a member of this portfolio committee, sometimes it is so painful when the same members, some of them, not all of them, they go and on media, politicking about serious issues about the country. When the mandate is clear, SABC, we are there to serve the public, and if we have, and we are not a prophet, if someone is going to die tomorrow, amongst ourselves here, and you know you are one of the leaders, and people have interest in you, whether you belong somewhere, we must cover that funeral. So which means we did not budget for that funeral, because you are not prophet. So in the eyes of politicians, it will be a loss. But in the eyes of us, it is not a loss. And the concern that I'm having is members of this portfolio going up and down, some of them, talking about this issue, having all these interviews, but missing the real point of the SAC. SAC, what does SAC represent? Those are the issues that really I need to deal with. The minister did allude to the issue of PBS and PBS, commercial and public service. But from a layman like me, there is no commercial service within the organization, because if you read the Broadcasting Act, you still need to fulfill the mandate of public. I mean, the regulation is clear. You still need to fulfill that mandate, which means you can't compete with other broadcasters, because you still follow the same governance, regulation. So, what I'm saying and what I'm appealing here to the members here, to be clear on this issue, to say that you are not there to make a profit. Example, if there is a big announcement today, we remove our stage on air, which means it is a loss from SABC. Because people have paid advertisers and sponsors and so on. It's a loss, but for us it is not a loss. So I'm just saying that I think we need to have that understanding. The chairperson did ask about the funding issue or getting sponsors and so on, whether they change the editorial decision of the SABC. They are not. Because if you look, SABC 80% commission is from sponsorship and advertising, but we dictate. And they do understand that we are a public broadcaster, we are not a commercial broadcaster. Most of the time, the adverts and so on, they don't dictate the editorial independence of the SABC. We always dictate the editorial independence of the SABC. Coming to the real issue again, I'm happy that now most of the political parties are complaining about the SAC, which means we are at work. It's a good sign that even all political parties are complaining about the SAC. And I'm going to demonstrate about this issue. For me, I hear honorable members talking about SAC not doing what they are supposed to do or bias. In case it's true, in some cases it is true. And in case of the SABC, we have many good journalists in the organization. But we also have those journalists who follow print media. Because what we need to build is SABC should break stories, print media and others. We should follow SABC. It can't be right that SABC is influenced editorially by print media. Because we have different interests. And when you read a public broadcaster, what is more important is the language that we use within the SAC can be a language that is used by a commercial broadcaster. We are different, and we are not competing with them, because we are a public broadcaster. But because human beings are human beings, we are aware that people belong to certain parties, And when we appoint people, we don't check who you, where you belong. But when you work for the organization, there are governance issues, there are process, there are editorial decisions that you need to follow. Even if you don't believe in the SAC, the line of the SAC that you are taking, but because you are employed by this good organization, you just need to do what you are supposed to do. In this case, we have been meeting different political parties, and we said to them, look, because they were complaining about the ANC, and I'm happy ANC is also complaining about the SAC. They were saying we are biased when it comes to ANC. And I make examples to say, look, it's the same in Parliament. The majority party, they have more time. It's the same with us at the ANC. The majority party will have more time, more cake to eat, because they represent people of South Africa. But also, you have DA, you have EFF, because they have certain portion of people that they represent. So we will use that to make sure that it is fair within reporting. But we are going to dismiss people if they don't adhere to the policy of the SADC, because some of them, we said to them, you are not, you see, when you're a journalist, you report the facts. You don't give your own views about whoever. And that I'm not going to compromise as management within the organization. We will deal with any individual, any journalist, because sometimes they go there as analysts themselves, analyzing individuals. You think, no, don't do that. Report the facts. There are those who will analyze lead politics to politicians. But we can't be come in and other people use SABC employees to do whatever that they need to achieve. We're not going to allow that to happen within the organization. And there is leadership there in that organization. But I need to put it here, members, that even other political parties, they should not interfere in the operation of SABC. Somebody will ask you, why did you remove that person there on air? But those are operational matters. We remove people because there's a need for organization to do that. You can imagine now, instead of members looking at the SAC and doing oversight, now they also need to manage the SAC, and we can't allow that to happen within the organization. There are professional people there who are running the organization. Coming to the BRICS countries, this is a very interesting one. We have been engaging, because this workshop sometimes is a top show. But what we have done within the SAC is, we have good experts in South Africa. We agreed with BRICS countries that when we buy content from Russia, example, we should have our own South Africans acting in those countries, so that when we buy, there is any for our own people. So, because, I mean, for them to go and act in Russia, there is money there, which means they are employed, they are trying to resolve their unemployment in this country. So, I think the BRICS and us, we are putting those measures in place within the organization. And I think it is also important that we should not lose the point, because the point is local content also. We are also assisting the provinces to come local, to produce local content in their own language. Because even at the SAC, if you look now, I think we are still not doing well when it comes to African languages, including Africans in the state. Because when you look, the majority of our content there in that platform is English. But the way we treat our own African languages when it comes to news is different than the way we treat other languages. So those are the issues that we are dealing with within the organization. And also, honorable members, my appeal will be and assisting our minister is to ask exemption from TREDA, so that when we report about the audit matter, we don't report about the boss and so on. Because for us it is not the wrong, because we need exemption from
a regular, but that is the issue that we are pursuing within the SABC. And also, honorable members, because I need to deal with this issue. Now it's election time. You see, and honorable members, I don't read because, you know, everything when I speak, when broadcasting is me in my life. And I can talk about everything within the organization even when I'm speaking. So, the issues about the election, I think it is important that now we whip our own journalists so that they don't take sides on reporting lines, because it is important that SABC is credible, SABC is fair the way we report, and we don't take sides, even including within certain political parties. Because if you check some of our own people when they report, you can see that some of us we did work during apartheid. You know, we have people, you can see these people, they follow a certain line. And this is their life. We know all these things. We understand that. But within the organization, we want to be fair. We want to report to all communities. But we don't want to influence the public as SABC. The public will judge themselves, not us as journalists having a different views about whatever is happening. And also, we need to talk about the good. You know, we are not apologetic about the good about the country. But the problem that we are facing is this negativity amongst our own people, whether they are journalists, whether they are. For them to report, you need to report about that story. And I don't believe that South Africa is all about that. But also I need to say to people, you know, people who don't go to this other country, poverty is all over. It's not in South Africa. You go to certain countries to be shocked. Actually, we are a better country. Those are the issues that we need to report about. But because sometimes people, they don't even go to these other countries. They think that, hey, people talk about America, they talk about India. They are better than South Africa. But the day you go there, the day you work there for sometimes, you realize that South Africa is better. Thank you, sir.
To basically convey the same sentiment of policy continuity.
undertook a roadshow to the United Kingdom and the United States to convey the same message. And our understanding is that business has been very receptive to the message of policy continuity, that there are no changes in terms of policy. So there's been a lot of positive reception in terms of that message. Now, with respect to Honorable Kekana, what you call Uganda ruling, there are two sides. It depends on how you approach the matter. Now, if you approach the matter as Uganda ruling, you're going to have a zero-sum approach that tells you that Uganda will be somebody wins. But once you approach it from the perspective that this is a constitutional ruling, you then have a positive sum, because no one loses from the constitutional ruling. The constitutional court, it assessed the centrality of the rule of law, and that rule of law protects everyone. And this is the message that everyone carries. And this is the message that all South Africans are saying, that the ruling by the constitutional court assessed the centrality of the rule of law, and that we all be equal before the law. And that's all that very well. You would have seen that rating agencies that started to make comments around that, really affirming the trust in terms of the centrality of the rule of law in this country. And those are positive things that are coming out of it. I'm saying if you approach it from the side of the fact that it's a constitutional court ruling, it's a very positive sum. It's a win-win. We all win in terms of this. We've got a society based on the rule of law. So that's the message that comes from the Concord. With respect to the proactive and the reactive communication, they always go together. The reactive communication, it was not anticipated, for instance, that during the voter registration, you find certain communities that would demonstrate and get involved in violent activities. But in totality, you would have seen that within the media, there was a lot of reporting around these violent activities. But if you look at the report of the IEC, you see that a lot of people registered to vote. So you need to manage the perception that, or not the perception, you need to manage the fact that there have been disturbances against the totality of what we really achieved in a whole. So there are those dynamics in terms of reactive and reactive communication. You need to deal with the truth, because the reactive parts don't anticipate anything. You deal with the consequences of things that may occur to manage the reputation of the brand. And I think with respect to other questions, my colleagues would respond to them. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Member. I was requested to respond on the legislation and the vacancy rate. I think we're doing very well in as far as the vacancy rate is concerned. We, at the end of Q4, we ended Q4 at a vacancy rate of 3.5 from a vacancy rate of 10% at the end of Q3. And that is not a fluke. It's something that we have planned, something that we have worked around, something that we knew we needed to achieve, and we will do all we can to make sure that we maintain the low vacancy rate that the minister has asked us to. In terms of leadership positions, I'm very pleased to announce to report that we've got all positions filled at ECO level. We've got all positions filled at senior management level as well, and all positions filled at senior management. So the two vacancies that I've highlighted are really at junior level staff. In terms of gender diversity, we're also cooking with girls there. We're doing very well. We're sitting at 1.75% now, and we're targeting to exceed the minister's target of 2% to get it to 3%, because there's a position we have planned to earmark a management position for a certain index disability. So it's in our business plan, and we'll report on that on a quarterly basis. In terms of gender diversity in those levels, at ESCO level, we're sitting at 60% male, and 40% male. And the reason why why we cannot achieve a 50% then that we are a five, you know, the number is odd. It's an odd figure. We are five in number. So at any given time, you'll have the ratio skewing to the other side, or slightly to the other side. But we are very conscious of that, and we will try and maintain that or even better that. In terms of the gender diversity and senior management, we are looking at about 30% women representation and 30% men. So we're doing extremely well there. Junior management, we're looking at 100% female and 0% male. So there we're giving better. I think that was all that was needed from us in terms of the top issues.
I'll then address the issue of the compensation. And during the financial year 2015, we disclosed an audited amount of 19 million for compensation. Predominantly, we incurred costs for the opinion when we were on the mission of regularizing the compensation in the UK, US, and China. And in 2 markets, the UK and the US, during 2014-2015, we didn't have permanent employees, so we used consultancy to act as our country manager for the Kingdom and professional team. However, we did manage to appoint in Q4 of 2014-2015. So this year, the consultancy team has reduced drastically with about 8%. Because the unaudited figure for 2015 is about 4 million. Thank you.
Only one. This is how many other students? FCD and LMDDS. If we can have one person responding to NGC, please.
Thank you, Chair. We'll deal with the other questions. I think there were about 4 questions directed at us. We'll be very brief, Chair. I'll deal with the 2 regulatory questions, and I'll ask the acting CFO to deal with the finance one. There was a comment by Honorable Sadi about the moratorium. I think it wasn't a question, it was really a request that the CASA review the moratorium that has been in place now for the past 6 months. I think, Chair, we've had the plea. We will take the plea back to council, and hopefully we will have a decision on that in the near future. The second question was around compliance, and the question was about what does the CASA do in respect of assessing compliance by licensees in the sector. I think I'll answer the question in 2 parts, Chair, and say, depending on the category of licensee, we adopt a more corrective approach as opposed to punitive. So when we deal with community broadcast service licensees, we tend to hold their hand and we walk them along the path of compliance and provide support as necessary. It is only when all of those efforts fail that we will then take enforcement action and perhaps refer them to the compliance and complaints committee. With regard to the other more established licensees, when we assess their non-compliance, we find them to be non-compliant, we generally put them on 10, give them a specific time within which to comply. I think in the last instance where we found non-compliance, we afforded them 3 months, failing which then we take enforcement action. Just to comment on the one last thing that has been spoken about around elections, we are obviously aware that the elections are coming and there will be a lot of contested terrain around the equitable broadcast coverage of political parties. So we have strengthened our capacity around compliance specifically with the municipal elections regulations and we employed the necessary temporary resources for the period of the election period. I'm gonna allow the election people to deal with the 2 finance questions and then we'll.
Thanks, Chair. Just be brief. On the issue of the council budget, in the previous financial year, we only had 3 councillors, so hence there is an increase because now we have a complement of 7 and
budget for all 9 of them coming on board. And then on the issue of the travel costs, our travel cost majority is spent on conducting workshops in all provinces, and currently there are workshops conducted on ministry election and amendments of the regulations. There's also a lot of installations that are done that basically conduct compliance visits and make sure that our licensee are in compliance. So that's where most of our travel budget is going to. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I was just in attendance today. I want to ask my colleague for weeks to just respond a bit to the vacancy, and then I'll set in another area.
So, thank you very much. Chair, just in terms of the question around vacancy, I think that the Parliamentary Committee must remember that the call at the board was only made in July, August this year. And we still have two vacancies on the board of the MDBA. So in many ways, there was work had to go on hold. And only when we managed to get the board could we then do a new organogram, designing the organization as a knowledge-based organization and putting research and monitoring evaluation at the center of it. Very importantly in terms of working on what the economic sustainability of community media should be, as well as the idea of what community media is, what content should be there, and therefore concentrating on research and monitoring and evaluation to guide us on the way forward. So we had to design an organogram. We then had to renew all job descriptions, look at all the kinds of jobs we needed, then do job levels, and we now have put all the advertising, the adverts for all the vacancies went into the paper on the City Press and into the community on Sunday. So that's where we are with our vacancies. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Just on the issue of equity, we must confess that we probably not using equity. I can assure you that it is under the leadership of women, majority, both at the board level and as well as at the staff level. Regarding the issue of funding for stations, we prioritize funding of rural stations in particular and strengthening. Part of what the board is doing, part of strengthening, supporting rural areas, is to undertake a site visit to look at the bouquet of development that supports that the stations, I mean the projects require, both in terms of broadcasting and print. So in essence, in that way, the board is able to see which stations that are actually require support. We may not be able to commit here and say definitely we know that we will be funding stations for until those visits have actually been undertaken. As we know, in our priority list, the provinces that have already located in Limpopo, which I have done it in February, of all the most of the community registrations in Limpopo, which we already know the areas that will be required support, and as well as KwaZulu-Natal and bits of print projects in the Western Cape, and we'll be doing KZN soon. Regarding the engagement with the print media, we've engaged with Media 24 and Texting, which are both positive in relation to funding the agency going forward, but however, they just want us to be able to demonstrate in a much more both quantitative and qualitative form in terms of what the impact they have made to the project or how they've used their funding in the last 10 years, which in fact it will be captured as part of the social impact study which I referred to earlier. And all advertising spent, I agree with my colleague, acting DG from GCIS, in regard to the partnership with around the issue of expand and make sure that it's better coordinated. We'll be engaging with broadcasting stations and as well as community presidents to make sure that they are part of the list, the register, treasure, so that they can actually accrue the value and the opportunities that is within there. And I'm just going to give my writing to just respond on issues around the monitoring plan and as well as the two areas around sustainability.
Thank you, Chair. In responding to the question whether we have the monitoring plan to ensure that the community broadcast is effective, Yes, and the MDDA, part of what we've identified as our key findings is that generally in the sector there's a failure of recognition that there's a link between quality, leadership, viewership, revenue generation, as well as institutional sustainability, content development, and program production. So as we are responding, as MDDA, we're also responding to that in terms of ensuring that we develop capacity of the sector. We do that by providing skills and development, especially around the areas of report writing, sales and marketing, advertising, finance management, marketing and governance as well. We also ensure that we capacitate our beneficiaries on issues of content development and program production. So how we manage that is based on our grant funding cycle, which by the grant funding cycle is accommodated from assessment of the project, needs assessment, institutional management, but also monitoring, evaluation, and then we have plans responding to this. And finally, I need to ensure the honorable member that the plans take cognizance of the fact that the project needs to sustain themselves post-grant funding. And one of the questions was that whether does our plan ensure that the projects are able to continue. When you speak about the continuation of the project in the developmental phase, you need to accommodate the fact that you are not only speaking to financial sustainability, but you also have to speak to the issues of ownership, community participation, and questions of control, as well as just institutional and financial sustainability. So board members, honorable members, you would agree with me that when we speak about financial sustainability, it might be a debatable issue to be difficult to ensure sustainability for a project that is based in the Western Cape as opposed to a project that is based in a different province. In just closing up, the other question was around whether we have community needs. And yes, I want to ensure the honorable members that we follow the grant funding sites as we respond responsively to the applications that we receive at the MCCA. We also conduct the environmental scanning, but we also have our situational analysis. We also ensure that we treat all applications besides. I think the honorable board members have spoken to the questions around the funding criteria and sustainability of the small commercial media. I think the response is equal and general. Media, community media sector, as well as the print media, has affected in a similar way. However, in ensuring that we ensure the small commercial media sustainability sustain, we contribute to life with the buyers in the media space. We also ensure that there's capacity building, but we're also working with the GCIS in terms of addressing the same. And finding the print media, we've also facilitated relationships with our print media funders. And I would want to respond finally to the question raised by our honorable member Honorable Sunday regarding the government target. I think as the MCPA, I think it would be premature to respond to the figures provided by the honorable member. I think we are here for the SDC, and any information we have in terms of procurement is still to be audited by the Auditor General. But I think that I can provide that information since I have privileged to. The figures provided, the presentation, you have suggested, are far from being correct. I can share with the honorable members that we have exceeded our targets in the current financial year, pending the verification by the Auditor General, but also the information is how we exceeded our targets because we had the rollover from the previous financial year, and as a result, whilst we are not confirming what needs to be qualified by the Auditor General, we have exceeded 45 suggested programs. Thank you.
Chairperson, from the FP side, there were two questions raised. Two of them are going to be answered by the CEO, the one on the education, as well as an update on training or education. In terms of equity numbers, yes, we have met the equity numbers. As a matter of fact, we are doing very well in that area. So, those were just a few things I can ask my colleagues to respond to that many questions.
Thank you, CEO, and good evening, Minister and honorable members. I'll start with an update on the thesis training manual. The manual has been developed and approved. What we have done in preparation for the next financial year, we have formed partnerships with three districts, Ilembe District in Kigeren, Skukune District in Limpopo, as well as Mobani District in Limpopo. So, for instance, in the Ilembe District, we have 32 schools that we've been given access to, followed by the 32 schools in the Mobani District and 90 schools in the school district. So we'll be piloting this manual on this district so that we can then begin to identify some of the gaps with a view to close them before we can roll it out nationally. The plan is really to have this being part of the school's curriculum, particularly for basic education at the education level. With regards to housing, engagements with the NEC for education are ongoing. We also plan to pilot the manual on some of the housing schools. Of course, over time, we will roll it out nationally. Insofar as litigation, there are four labor matters. Three of these matters relate to misconduct. The fourth matter relates to an employee who resigned and then turned around and claimed constructive dismissal. All of these matters are at the CCMA level and are being dealt with upon. Thank you.
There were issues that were very key that I sent and gave in it. The first one I think is with respect to the magistrate that is very good in the media giving the agenda and some of the administrative police say that we will all come back on the 11th of February. The Competition Commission ruled in favor of the SAPC situation. That, as we know, there was like a national commission agreement that the SAPC was intended to enter, like any other prospector. So, to my surprise, then, including the most further to say that then the Competition Commission has exonerated the SAPC. But you understand the chances are positive. Then other thing that I think I need to deal with is with regard to the MPJ amendment. I think part of this will be dealt with the funding issues and the contributions, but more details will be shared in the budget report with regard to the amendment. The other is that I can just very kind of the issues of the follow-up of our colleagues. And the human beings. Although Donald and Leo dealt with it, but I think because we are the most responsible for admitting these members to cabinet, I think it's an eye opener based on the recommendation of the system that maybe we find that we don't need to report those to parliament, so to cabinet to report those that don't come up. That is the whole thing. I think we need to like say when we as for agenda, we will also address a week. Then we also have to say, after the decision that we are raising this week, we will not make any principle of CCIS or CCO of the council. So we will be able to do a template to say, this is the issue that we raised. And then this is how far the president has gone in the position of the issues that we raised. I think that's another good suggestion that Honorable Sebe has raised. I think on our side, those will be key critical issues. Just to say,
that takes the Lord, that was the same that the something I could remember and see from the letter that Honorable Vandik as the letter to the English court in terms of the case of the seeing the ethics. I think those are the issues that you said there are the new gentlemen and in general.
Thank you very much, Minister. Colleagues, thank you for the presentation and responses. The engagement that we are doing is not just an exercise, but it's part of oversight in our role. We're going to arrange the oversight within the individual, sometimes we come unannounced. I must say, we are not talking about some of the presentations. And to remind people that the committee is legally empowered to summon anyone to come and make a presentation whenever we feel that some issues are not clarified or maybe the presentation itself is not up to a people to attend at a party. We want to enjoy making life very difficult to other people, and if we show, we are just people not to make life very difficult for the community. And the preparation is appropriate. If the presentation is not shared accordingly, the committee can send the entity a better report to the respect and send to the relevant office. And coming to SAPC, in the past, the committee requested, an audit of the officials and also an MP who comply and also for supply, as far as change of the, lessons concerned. For keeping that is the main source of revenue for ABC. We usually, encourage people to invest new things in business and raise funds, but they're not saying how to be raised. And what you said, the commissioner, about the fundraising part, that you're not a profit-making organization. We are really, sympathizing with yourself. We are also not pushing at you as a public organization. We know that you have to, to be innovative and try to collect revenue. But it's also upon us to support you on what you are saying, that they cannot make laws and be the ones that they know what is right and not taking compliance with the laws that they need to. We need to pay our lessons. And let us also appeal to the department and all entities that when we plan, let us not be too ambitious. Let us plan within the limits of our resources. Let us plan according to the availability of funds and also within our limits. And so that we do not also, we encourage us to have more expectations so that we do not have the means to deliver what is in the report. So let us try to be realistic and plan accordingly. And members, we'd love to make a follow-up, I suppose, but the time that we have just said that we have another meeting to attend. And from the comments, actually, it seems the bus stops with you as far as contributions are concerned. And we really agree with you that you have a passion for the rest of the team. When we say BC is going to be in DNA, we know we are going through the extremes to make successes after the challenges that we are facing or the campaign. I think if BC is in line, it will make that easy for GSA, rest of Africa. For BC and everybody, that people will have to enhance the situation of South Africa. And it's true that the poverty is not only in South Africa, it's better in South Africa than in many other countries. That's why everyone wants to be in South Africa. And on other issues, I'm not sure how to translate the things into the Chinese, to whom I'm sorry, to where half of them are, to where this of them are. We are concerned about people who think they are not responsible. Because they're dead in the government. Gaza has to go to extremes sometimes, the money is not enough to cater for people who just mess up with their life. And unfortunately, you can't blame them and say they're not going to take a crime. They must take them. So people are inspired by them, otherwise, drinking illegally because of drinking excessively and responsibly. They can't ask if they can't use without taking that alcohol.
and say, you know, thank you for that child. And also concerned about the loss of job, if there has not been done, do away and do access. So we don't know if the test the situation. We are trying our own means to raise the revenue. We are trying our own means to make sure that the quality of life of the people is enhanced. So moving forward, we'll see how we, you know, we come to a common goal and whatever you are seeking other, that makes things better. But we need to be, you know, conscious of how we do our assets. We know that sometimes it's taking that under the age of 18, under this and whatever, but we don't do this. I mean, I don't think we have the capacity to monitor each and every person and make sure that the people do not take care of themselves when they're under 18. This is his business. You know, we go to heaven and tell them about this story. We are ready and looking after the people. But I think together we are getting there. We try our own means to move them and